From WNYC New York Public Radio, I'm Leonard Lopate. This is just one segment of the Leonard Lopate Show, but every interview is available on demand at WNYC.org. This on-demand service is made possible by WNYC and its listeners, so please help support this free service by becoming a member at WNYC.org.
WNYC On Demand is supported by DataPipe Managed IT Services, delivering a comprehensive suite of managed services, including implementing, securing, and scaling applications designed for mid-market and Fortune 1000 enterprises. DataPipe.com.
Tomorrow evening, Madison Square Garden will be hosting the 100th annual Milrose Games, the oldest invitational indoor track and field meet in America. With me by phone from the Garden are Eamon Coughlin, the running star who has won the game's premier event, the Wanamaker Mile, a record 7 times. And then later we'll speak with Mary Decker Slaney, former world record holder in the mile and the 1500. I'm very pleased to welcome them to our show. Eamon, what exactly are the Milrose Games? You've come to be something of a spokesman for them, haven't you?
Well, good afternoon, Leonard. I suppose the reason I've become somewhat of a spokesman is because I won the famous Wanamaker Mile, a record 7 times.
How many times did you run it?
I ran it, that's a good question. I lost it once.
Well, that's not bad.
And years in between, I was had stress fracture injuries. I missed it a couple of years because of injuries. And then the one occasion I lost when I was going for record 7th Wanamaker Mile was in 1986 when Marcus O'Sullivan, a fellow Irishman who's had a head coach at Villanova University now, Marcus snapped victory for me that night. But I came back the following year. And I surpassed the great Glenn Cunningham's record of 6 when I won my 7th. So, you know, the Wanamaker Mile is synonymous with the Milrose Games. And because I lived in New York for 19 years of my life and I'm now back in Dublin, it's a tradition to come back here to Milrose Games every year. And this year being the centenary of the event, we have a lot of the greats from the past coming back into town.
Now, Wanamaker's was the name of a department store from Philadelphia with a branch here in New York. Were they connected to all of this?
Yes, Leonard, very much so. As a matter of fact, Wanamaker was probably, the Wanamaker store down in Philadelphia is probably the people who were the first to set up fitness programs for their employees. And my understanding is that they used to have a track on the roof of the building in Philadelphia and encouraged all the employees to go out and exercise by walking or jogging around the track. And then 100 years ago, the Wanamakers, who were obviously encouraging running and very much involved in it as a pastime themselves, sponsored the Wanamaker Milrose Games. And the name has remained the same going through, these 100 years now.
Who's Milrose?
Milrose is the Milrose Athletics Association, which would be like the New York Roadrunners Club. We have the Milrose Athletics Association here in New York, and they were the promoters of the event, and Wanamaker was the sponsor. And Howard Schmertz, the Schmertz family here in New York, his dad, Fred Schmertz, would have been the meet promoter for many years, and now Howard, his son, who is actually 81 years young, has promoted this event since the 1970s himself.
What events are included? Is this are they the same as the Olympic track and field events?
Sure, yeah. You look at them. You've got the best Olympic champions, world record holders in the world coming for this. We've got the men's 60 dash, the 600 yards, the men's 800 meters, the Wanamaker mile, the hurdles. You've got the pole vault. You've the women's pole vault. You've got the women's 3,000 meters, 800 meters. What you get at the Olympic Games, you're going to get it under Madison Square Garden's roof. And the highlight, obviously, is going to be the Wanamaker mile, where the double Olympic medalist who just now has got his U.S. citizenship, he's formerly from Kenya, Bernard Lagat, is going after his 5th Wanamaker mile, and he'll be up against the great American miler, Alan Webb, who just ran 3:55 in Boston last weekend. And then we've also got a guy by the name of Craig Mottram. Craig Mottram is from Australia. It's his first time to run in the Garden, and he would be the fastest non-African runner, middle distance runner in the world today. So we really got a bit a dandy of a Wanamaker mile coming up tomorrow night.
Well, when Bernard Lagat won in 2005, he broke the record time that you had set in 1981.
Yeah.
Does it hurt to see a record that had lasted that long fall, especially when you're the one who held it?
Well, not really, you know. It was nice to think 25 years since I broke the record, 1981, as you say, and he only went, I think, 13 hundredths of a second better than what I achieved on the old board track in 1981. So, you know, 25 years, 1,300 per second, not much improvement, but at least what it did, it's brought fast times back into the garden. And I think tomorrow night we could be in for a record run as well, because Craig Mottram and Alan Webb have been running really, really hot right now, and they're going to try and prevent Lagat from winning his fifth one, American Mile.
Isn't it harder to run fast times indoors?
It is, absolutely, especially in the garden, because an outdoor track, you have 4 laps to the mile. Indoors, you've got 11 laps to the mile, which means that the straightaways are shorter, 40 yards long. The turns are 40 yards around as well. They've got a steep bank. It's almost like going around Indianapolis, you know, the banked track. So it makes it a little bit more difficult to get by somebody on a short straightaway, and it makes it impossible to pass somebody on the turns. And the overall result is the times tend to be a little bit slower. But, you know, running at 3:49, a 3:50 mile indoors is pretty fast anyhow.
So, but why would top athletes want to do this when it's going to slow their average times? I understand that many of the people who will be in the Summer Olympics next year in Beijing will be participating. They're going to look like they've slowed down.
No, not really. You've got 2 seasons, Leonard. You've got the indoor season and you've got the outdoor season. The outdoor season, as I said, is on a 4 lap to the mile track. Indoors, according to the International Athletics Federation, the standard track is 8 laps to a mile indoors, whereas in the Madison Square Garden, as I say, it's 11. It's just it's a different season altogether. And the times indoors, while they might be a couple of seconds off an outdoor time, it doesn't make any difference to an athlete or to the audience who's going there to see great races and great performances in pole vaulters. It's the competition they go for, not just the times.
Well, actually, they're going to see a lot of stuff at the same time, because it's like the circus, isn't it? A 3-ring circus. There are races being run around the outside track, and then there's pole vault, high jump, even the shot put going on at the same time in the middle.
Yeah, very much so.
Does that make it hard to concentrate?
No, it's a great stage production, as a matter of fact. You know, it's like coming to Broadway. There's a great show going on at Madison Square Garden for track and field aficionados. They like to see all the action that's taking place. For the runners running in the mile, you focus only on what you're doing out there. You're not paying attention to the shot putters or the pole vaulters. Sometimes, however, for the miler, if a pole vaulter takes a jump and knocks the bar down, it can land on the track and cause a little bit of a problem. But the officials are there to try and grab it just in case it goes in the path of the runners. But generally speaking, each performer is focusing 100% on what they're trying to do and is not interrupted by whatever else is going on. And for the spectators, it's really well done, because they're right actually in the middle of the action, as opposed to outdoors, where they're somewhat removed from it in the stands.
Did you have a particular strategy when you ran the Wanamaker, which, as I understand it, once was a mile and a half and then was shortened to a mile?
That's right. In the early days, I think for the first 10 years or so of Milrose Games, 1908 through about 1918, it was a mile and a half race. That might have been the tradition back then, but they changed it over to the mile, because obviously the mile is the key event that's recognized by the general public. So I guess the mile is only going maybe 90 years out of the 100.
Is it true that you used to go to the garden before the meet and check the track for loose spots and then get the carpenters to repair them?
That's right. The guys in the garden were Irish carpenters. They still are to this very day. And I used to like going there at about 7 or 8 o'clock, a couple of hours before my race, jogging, finding out the soft spots, identifying it to the guys, and they would tighten it. They would shimmy it up a little bit and make it a little bit more solid for me, all right, yeah.
There are also races for college, high school, and even younger athletes. And last year, didn't your son compete in the boys' high school mile?
Yeah, he just wanted to see what it was like to come over and compete in Madison Square Garden in front of, you know, 18,000, 19,000 people. We've got races for high schoolers, and we've got races for college athletes. As a matter of fact, I believe they've got the fastest kid on the block, the fastest kid in New York City as well, is going to compete, both boy and girl, I think, in like the 8, 9-year-old age group. And that that brings an awful lot of excitement to the young kids and their families. And some of these kids are the ones who are going to go on to become the big stars of track and field in America in future years.
Before we bring Mary Decker-Slaney in here, just one more thing. Yeah. There used to be several major track meets in New York, and now just this one, and the Millrose often struggles to find sponsorship. Why do you think track and field isn't more popular in this country, at least? I'm assuming that it is more popular in some parts of the world.
Yeah, well, it's very popular in Europe, all right. A lot of the best athletes in the world have a tendency to stay in Europe right now. In the United States, there's been less sponsorship money, less television exposure, less media exposure. However, having said that, there's still a lot of track meets on in the United States. There's probably more on now than there were when I was competing in the 70s and 80s, but it's more college-oriented, and the tracks they compete on are 200-meter tracks where the qualification times they need to get for the NC2As or for the World Championships indoors are on those type tracks. But it's not bad. We've got some great performers out there. It's just the smaller arenas are not catering for track and field like they used to do in the past.
I understand that Mary Decker-Slaney is standing there with you. You're going to hand the phone over to her?
She looks great. She looks like she's ready to go out and win the women's mile here tomorrow night herself.
Mary,
I pass you over to Mary Decker. Here she is, Leonard.
Mary was a world record holder in the mile and the 1500-meter events in the 1970s and 80s. She's also remembered by many for the collision she had with Zola Budd in the Olympics. Hi, Mary.
Hi.
So how many times did you run in the Millrose?
You know, I've never really counted. I started when I was 15, and the last time I ran here, I believe, was about 10 years ago.
And was it in both the mile and the 1500?
Yes.
So you've run all over the world. How did the Millrose track compare to others, especially that wooden track that gets dismantled and is for the sprints and then gets put back together?
Well, I've always loved indoors, and the track itself, I didn't take too much notice of the track, particularly, no matter where I went. I just wanted to run well. If it was a little bit slower, then it would reflect in the time, but I tried not to let that be an excuse to run slower. I always thought that the crowd at the Garden would more than make up for the track if it were a little bit slower. Plus, I thought it was really fun. It was so different than running outdoors that an indoor track, you just have a different mindset running.
You're also closer to the crowd, aren't you?
Oh, the crowd is on top of you. It's absolutely amazing, and people will be in the stadium, in the stands, but also there'll be people on track level. And when you're running well, they'll start banging on the track, and it just gets very, very loud, and it literally helps carry you through the race.
How has the sport of running changed over the years?
Well, I think there have been some very positive changes in the sport of running over the years. And what I am referring to is mostly that there are just so many more events. And I was talking to Craig Masbach just a little while ago, and he's head of USA Track and Field, and he said that it is a fact that there are more children competing in track and field now than ever before, which I find that to be a really, really positive step because of the sports that we compete against, that track and field has always competed against. And, you know, I also have been finding out that there are so many more events around the country and around the world that are, now that the sport is considered professional, there's just so much more choice to compete.
Do women train differently nowadays?
I don't think they train differently. It's for years and years and years and years, especially for distance runners, there's been so many different philosophies of training. There's been, you know, the Bowerman training, and Bowerman, you know, loved the Lydiard training methods, you know, the longer, slower distance to build strength. And then there's the Sebastian Coe, where he ran very low mileage and did a lot of strength exercises and plyometrics. And, you know, I think everybody's tried everything, and people are so different that you just have to find what works for you. I mean, myself, if I tried to train more, I always got hurt. You know, I couldn't do high mileage, and I felt like, God, I could be so much better if I could do more mileage. But, you know, I think in hindsight, keeping it lower for me was always better, just because I had a tendency to go out and do my mileage, you know, relatively fast because I liked to.
What about the changes in running shoes, or also the things that they wear nowadays? It looks like they're running in bathing suits. Is that actually for performance or just simply fashion?
I think it's what people feel comfortable in, because when I was competing, I would wear, you know, track or running briefs, and we would wear what we called singlets, or, you know, to the normal person, it would be a tank top type outfit. I think that a jumper, it might be more beneficial, maybe a pole vaulter or a high jumper, because there's less of something to get caught on the bar besides your body. But as far as running, you know, if you're running in a hot climate, it might be better to have less clothing on. But I think it's more of, well, it's just more of, you know, fashion.
Well, Eamon said that you look like you could still run. Do you keep training?
Well, I keep running. I haven't been able to compete for a long time because of injuries and other health issues as you get older. But I try to stay fit, just because I can't imagine not being fit, simply because, you know, it's just not me. I feel like, oh, my God.
Well, thank you so much for talking with us today, Mary Decker-Slaney. We also spoke with Eamon Coughlin about the Millrose Games, which take place tomorrow night at Madison Square Garden. Tickets are available through Ticketmaster and at the Garden box office. Thank you again, Mary.
Thank you. I was enjoying talking with you.
Thanks for listening to the Leonard Lopate Show from WNYC, New York Public Radio. You can hear everything we do and check out our other programs on demand at WNYC.org or on iTunes. This on-demand service is made possible by WNYC and its listeners, so please help support this free service by becoming a member at WNYC.org. And thanks.